He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
It must have been, I want to say my seventh grade year was when I was baptized. In particular, I remember my baptism because it was kind of funny, at least I think so looking back. At the time, I probably didn't think it was so funny. But I had, at my home church, we have a baptismal tub right under the cross. And Pastor Ron was in it, and I was getting ready to enter into the waters. And so I'd been preparing myself and remembering everything that they had said about, you know, make sure that your feet are planted and spread apart a little bit so that when they dunk you, everything goes according to plan. And I thought I had that down, but apparently I didn't, because I remember I was there and a small piece was read, and Pastor Ron held me and he said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and he dunked me. And apparently I did not plant my feet, because all of a sudden my feet come out of the water and Pastor Ron slams them back down. And thankfully where the water was and where the top of the baptismal tub was, there was a little bit of space. And so nobody saw this. They just saw me really go under. And so Pastor Ron picks me back up and kind of shake off and kind of like, "All right, I'm baptized." And so I always remember my baptism, because that was something that clearly stood out. I also remember two of my friends, Samantha and Hannah, hugging me afterwards. And I remember beforehand being asked, like, "All right, explain why you're being baptized." And seventh grade old Brent had no idea. It was something that we did. It was something that we were supposed to do. And so I was asked to write something that they would put on the screen. That way they could read it as to why I was being baptized. And again, I wasn't really sure. And I didn't know what to say. And I'm not sure if anybody knows this, but I actually didn't write what I said. My youth pastor ended up writing it for me. And they had told me that I was being baptized because this showed that I had acknowledged that I was forgiven of my sins. Like I was saying, I didn't really understand why I was being baptized or what exactly baptism meant. And to be honest, even to this day, I'm still learning what it means to make the claim that I am baptized. And I think part of this is because, unfortunately, in the evangelical tradition, I think we've not always done justice when talking about baptisms. I think for a lot of us, and again, for myself included, we're confused about what it means to be baptized. For a lot of us, it's that one day that we were dunked or had water poured on us or had water sprinkled in our face, and we continue on. For me, it was especially confusing, especially once I got to college and I started to be in school to think about this stuff, as I started to think about baptisms. And it really confused me when I started to think about how I was told that my baptism showed that I'd been forgiven of my sins. Because growing up, I was always against infant baptism growing up. Which, if you know me now, you know that I'm the complete opposite, that I'm fully for infant baptism, that the historic church from its earliest days has baptized infants. And even from the Church of the Nazarene's very beginning, we have photographs of general superintendents baptizing children at our general assemblies. And so we've always been for infant baptism. But in college, this really confused me. Because how could babies understand that they were forgiven of sins? How could they accept the fact that they had been forgiven of their sins? It didn't make sense to me. And then I remember one day I was in class, and I think it was with Professor Montag and Jeff Barker. I remember sitting there thinking, well, why the heck was Jesus baptized? What sins did he have to be forgiven of? He forgave sins, but I don't think he was forgiven any sins. And so on a day like today, I think it's good to talk about some of that confusion. Today in the church calendar is the baptism of our Lord Sunday. It's the day where we specifically look at the fact that Jesus was baptized. And for those of us in the evangelical tradition, I think this has confused us for a long time. Because again, why does Jesus need to be baptized if he had no sins? So today's gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up from the water. And at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Gospel of our Lord. And so again, baptism has to be more than just an acknowledgement of the fact that we're forgiven of our sins. Because again, why would Jesus then need to be baptized, especially to fulfill all righteousness? One of the things that I appreciate about Matthew's gospel in particular is that Matthew acknowledges that I'm not the only one confused by this. Even John the Baptist, who was known for doing baptisms, it was his title, the Baptist, was confused by this. Jesus comes to him and says, I need to be baptized. And John's there, wait, no. You should baptize me, not me baptize you. This doesn't make sense. This isn't how this works. But Jesus told him, no, this needs to take place. It's at this moment where we see Jesus, the Son, coming out of the water with the Holy Spirit descending on him and the Father saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. It's this Trinitarian event. We kind of talked about it in Sunday school, that this is the triune God, all facets of the Trinity appearing. And so it would seem as if baptism then is not merely a symbol that we are forgiven of our sins, but rather that we are people who have been marked. Jesus was baptized, and it was immediately after his baptism that he goes out into the desert to begin his ministry and where he is tempted. And so he is marked by the water of baptism as God's Son in whom God is well pleased. And so as I've come to learn more about what it means to make the claim that I am baptized, I've begun to realize that it's a marking. Some have equated it to circumcision in the Old Testament, that was a physical mark, that once you were marked for life. And in baptism, it's the same thing. When we're marked, we are marked for life. That we are marked as a people of God who have now entered into the kingdom of God. And this is why, for me personally, I love the idea of infant baptism. because it marks from a child's birth that this child has been marked and set aside and placed in the kingdom of God as one of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That this child will not have to one day decide to enter into the kingdom. Instead, he will just, or she will just have to accept and live into this, that they have been marked for this kingdom. It's the parents in the church saying, we will raise them so that they will be members of this kingdom. And for believers' baptism, like the baptism that I had received, a baptism that takes place when one is older, it showed that even though my parents, although they had dedicated me, it wasn't the official mark. It wasn't the seal placed saying that I was in the kingdom of God and that I was a kingdom citizen and that I now have a new set of laws, a new set of allegiances, a new set of being. It was our baptism's mark, a covenant that we have made. And so being a citizen in this kingdom, like I just said, it means that we've made a covenant with God, even though we don't always realize that we've made that covenant. For me, like I said, I was baptized, and I didn't say anything other than, ugh, as I had slipped. And besides that exclamation of, you know, uh-oh, I slipped, and the words that were on screen, I didn't say anything. But as I look back, I realized that I made an agreement to a covenant, even if I didn't necessarily know it. In some ways, I look back to my baptism, and I realize it was kind of like when you click I agree to the terms of service and agreements, when you don't actually read the terms of service and agreement. It's fun sometimes to go online and look at some of the things that different companies put in their terms of agreement, and some of them are just completely ridiculous. Like, you agree that we can sell your soul if need be. I agree. Just ridiculous things that you don't always realize that you're agreeing to, but you've clicked the agreement. Another way that I think about my baptismal vows that were made, even though I didn't realize I had made them at the time, is whenever I get out and drive on the road, although I have never said the words, I will not drive drunk on the highway, or I will not do this on the highway, I will not break whatever law. Although I've never actually said those words, whenever I get into my car and I turn it on and I drive onto the street, I'm making a covenant with the state saying that I will follow your laws. I am driving on these roads. I will follow the laws that have been placed before me. And so we make that agreement just by the act of doing the thing. And so in our baptisms, we imply that we will uphold our baptismal vows, even if we've never recited them. And so part of what I want to do today is read what the church has historically has said have been the baptismal vows. And in many ways, they're almost like wedding vows. Some of the responses are similar. And they're all simple questions with simple answers, but they're not always easy answers. And so historically, what the priest or the minister would ask is, do you reject Satan? And the one to be baptized would say, I do. Or for those that were baptized as infants, when they would be renewing their baptismal vows, when they were old enough to say, the vows that my parents made for me, I will live into and agree with. And do you reject Satan? I do. And all of his works? I do. And all of his empty promises? I do. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. In Catholic, there is a lowercase c, which just means universal, so that I believe in the entirety of the Church. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of the life everlasting. The minister continues to ask, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers? To which those that have been baptized or who will be baptized respond with, I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as your very self? I will, with God's help. And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Now, for those of us who are baptized, we may not have realized that we said all those things when we either went into the water or were sprinkled with the water. But by act of being baptized, we said those things. Those are the agreements with the church and with the Lord that we have made through the act of our baptisms. Those are our vows. And just as marriage vows are sacred, our baptismal vows are sacred as well, marking us as a people who are part of the kingdom now. And so today is a day that the church has set aside to remember that Jesus entered into this covenant. That Jesus said, yes, I will resist Satan. Who just shortly later we see when he's out in the desert. We see Jesus affirming the vows that he will love his neighbor as himself and that he will strive for justice and peace among all people and to give respect and dignity to all. We see that Jesus leads the way into this covenant and invites us all to follow in after him. And so as we remember the baptism of Jesus, we're also invited to remember our own baptism. And now I know I started with remembering my baptism by cognitively recalling what it was like when it happened. And in English, we don't always do the word remember justice, because when we say that we remember something, we tend to think back to the event and what it was like or, you know, how things went down. But in this ancient mindset, remember meant more than just thinking back to. It meant to actively live into and embrace. It's the idea of remember who you are. When somebody says, remember who you are, it's not thinking back to who we were, but it's living into that. When I'm with my family, I remember the love we have for each other, not thinking back to the love that we did have, but remembering that we're a unit and that there's deep love that connects us. And so when we're told to remember our baptism, it's not a calling to me to remember slipping and Pastor Ron slamming my feet back down, but rather it's a call to live into the vows that were made. On November 27th, when I was installed, you all gave me a picture to use to remember our baptisms. And so earlier this morning, I poured water out of it into a simple clear bowl. And historically, the Eucharist was for those that were baptized. It was a meal that reminded them that they were baptized. And so before we come up to receive communion in a little bit, I would invite you to partake in a practice that goes back all the way to the earliest church days, when they would come forward, and in the sanctuary there would often be a baptismal font, a small bowl, and they would simply dip their fingers and cross themselves or mark themselves, simply to remember that they have been baptized. And so as you come forward in a little bit to receive communion, I invite you to feel free to touch the water and to remember that you are baptized, if you have been baptized. And this may be wrong of me to make the assumption that most of us have been baptized, and I've been preaching that way. And if there are any that are not yet baptized, I apologize for that assumption. And I would love to talk with you about what it means to be baptized and what it is that would look like. As for me, I personally believe that baptism is one of the most sacred things that we can do, as it really is the time in which we are marked aside as a people of God for God. And so again, in a little bit, we will come to the table. And as we do, I invite you to feel free to remember your baptism, to remember the vows that you have taken, the grace that you have received, and the grace that you will receive at the table. I ask that you pray with me now. Sisters and brothers, our baptismal vows calls us to compassion and mercy on behalf of those who are in need. And so we offer our prayers for the church and for this world. Lord God, you have revealed your Son in the waters of the Jordan, and you anointed him with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to all people. Lord, we pray that you sanctify us by that same Spirit, that we may proclaim the healing power of your gospel by acts of love in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.